This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Charging municipalities for state police protection has been a goal for Governor Tom Wolf for many years. He has once again proposed forcing cities, boroughs, and townships to pay for state police services. This time, even municipalities which already have their own police force would be required to chip in. For details, we turn to David Senko. Dave is Executive Director of the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors. Governor Wolf, again, with his budget address here a couple of weeks ago, is back on this issue of wanting to charge municipalities, specifically townships, in the case of the organization you represent, specifically townships, but other municipalities, for state police protection. Can you first of all tell us what the governor is proposing to do?
He wants to charge communities. The state has not kept up with appropriately funding the state police, and they're looking to pick up some of the money from the motor license fund to put back on roads, but to fill the gap by charging locals for their using state police, whether you have a local police department or don't have a local police department.
Wouldn't we look at this state police protection, which is what we're talking about here, as a core function of state government, Dave?
Absolutely. Public safety and state police correspondingly is a core function. I mean, Pennsylvania has a proud tradition and one of the oldest state highway patrol state police systems in the country. And they do a great job, but they don't enforce local ordinances. They don't enforce local speed limits. I mean, they do state things. They do state laws. They state fire marshal, state crime lab, all things that everybody pays for every day with their income taxes.
Interesting you mentioned that the state police are partially paid for from the motor license fund. I seem to recall that a number of years ago, many years ago, that was just a line item in the general fund budget. How is it that we came to be paying for state police protection out of a fund that's meant to maintain roads?
In the mid-40s, there was a ballot question creating the motor license fund and a recognition at the time that the state highway patrol did provide a public safety function in keeping the highway safe. So it was a small, modest contribution that everybody agreed was appropriate to come out of a highway budget. I think the challenge has been over the last 20, 25 years, the legislature has seen that pot of money as like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and it's a place where you can go and just push off other expenses. So it's now up to almost $750 million that is diverted from highway projects onto into paying for the state police.
As we look around the state, Dave, townships cover everything from very large suburban townships to very sparsely populated rural townships. Which type of township, or is it a mix, that tends to have a municipal police force?
I think the answer to that question is that each community makes their own decision for what's best for them, which is why a one-size-fits-all solution doesn't work. So everybody gets a base layer of state police coverage. Their communities, as they develop more, as they maybe experience more crime or more traffic or more population, that they want more than what the state police can give them, and they will make a decision to invest in either a local police department or a regional police department. But it's when you want service beyond the basic service that the state police provides.
So we do have a number of these municipal or regional police departments all around the state. The governor is now wanting municipalities to pay for state police protection. Is there going to be some sort of a formula for, say, a municipality that has a municipal police force would pay less than one that doesn't? Does the governor have a particular formula in mind for that, or has he not yet added that level of detail?
Well, I think there is a formula. We've asked to see the formula and have been told that as soon as it's corrected, it'll be made available. I think they've taken essentially the costs of operating a state police barracks and overlaid that or divided that dollar figure into the geographic population area that barracks serves, which is why there can be vastly different per capita figures by neighboring communities. They then put some kind of weighting onto it that accounted for the mean population in the municipality, and also then a reduction factor if you had a local police department or did not. So it's a kind of a complicated. I'm guessing it's like some kind of water balloon that you push in one place and it pops out somewhere else. But it seems to be a very complicated formula. It's not just population based. We got one call from a community that has one of the state system universities in. They have a population of about 1,000 people without the university, but have 5,000 with the university, and those 1,000 people are going to be asked to share the cost of providing state police coverage to the 5,000 because the community is not allowed to tax the students who are on campus. So in that instance, you've got a really disproportionate cost falling on residents that frankly should be state police anyway.
We are talking with Dave Sanko, who is executive director of the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors. Our topic so far, and we're going to get a little bit into fire protection here in a minute, has been an effort by Governor Tom Wolf to essentially surcharge municipalities around the state for state police protection. Dave, this, of course, is part of the governor's budget proposal. Over the last 5 years, we've seen a lot of proposals for taxing and spending from the governor. Very few of them have fortunately gone anywhere. In terms of the lay of the land in the General Assembly, does this issue have much support for the governor's plan?
I don't think there will be. I think there are a lot of competing priorities. I think at the end of the day, everybody recognizes that, look, it's important to fund highways, and we may have to do that a different way. But the state should be funding its share of the state police rather than pushing that off to any other special interest, but especially not local governments, because at the end of the day, all that's doing is forcing either a local income tax increase or a local property tax increase, and most communities just can't afford either one of those.
We could have a whole conversation about highway funding. We did remind our listeners that about a 30-cent a gallon gasoline tax increase went into effect here a few years ago. Also, a lot of money being diverted from the turnpike. I'd like to pivot a little bit right now, Dave, because another major issue and an even more pressing issue facing townships is fire protection. Do we still find that a lot of townships around the state rely on volunteer fire departments?
Absolutely. There are, 30 years ago, there were 300,000 volunteer firefighters in Pennsylvania. Today, there are less than 50,000. They still have the same amount of territory to cover. It's becoming very challenging and difficult to make that happen. And townships, under state law, have that obligation to make sure there's fire protection provided to their communities. So they're trying to do things with recruiting and retention and shared services to avoid the potential pitfall of having to go to a career paid fire service, because the state fire commissioner estimates that'll cost between $8 and $10 billion, and that's a lot of property tax increases.
In terms of these volunteer firefighters, Dave, does PSAT support any particular measures or efforts that would make it more attractive for an individual to want to become a volunteer firefighter?
Yeah, we participated on the Senate Resolution 6 Commission, which came up with a series of recommendations to try and incentivize volunteer firefighters, from tax credits to tuition assistance programs to one of the big challenges the firefighters have is the hundreds of hours of training that is required and mandated as they do. Look, everybody wants everyone to be safe, but to have this one-size-fits-all training standard across the board, whether you live in a rural community that has a lot of farm fields, or if you live in a building or a community that has tall high-rise fires, the guys who live in the rural areas don't need to know how to fight a high-rise fire, and the guys in the high-rise fires don't need to learn how to draft water out of a creek.
We have again been talking with Dave Sanko, who is executive director of the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors. Dave, tell us a little bit about what PSATS does and also where folks can find you on the web.
PSATS is a member service organization. We represent the 1,400-plus townships around Pennsylvania and provide them with educational and training opportunities to help share best practices and give them the tools to do their job better, more affordably, and efficiently. And you can find us at www.psats.org.
Dave Sanko from the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors. Dave, thank you for being with us.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.